Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Transformation Cafe. Once again, we're in 2015. Woo! Who would think about that? Mr. Jamie, you're scooting up to the table. I think you're super excited considering we got the Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's certainly for sure. That was quite a Sunday game. And,
everybody
buzz about that around here.
You don't sound
quite
so excited. I thought you'd be like, yeah, I'm so excited.
Well, yeah, I was pretty excited for sure.
You're pretty excited. Okay, this is Jamie being excited. Okay. Good to know about that. Well, I look forward to the conversation because we had talked about it, the last year this time, about how phenomenal the Seahawks are because, like, the quarterback and all those guys, they meditate together on a regular basis. They have all these regular spiritual practices they do to really be helping the whole team to feel connected with everything they do. So I think they're still maintaining those practices because it seems like they've been able to just kind of, when it came to intermission, I'm sure they went back to the locker room and was, centering, get back into the zone so they could basically pull that game out like they did on Sunday.
Did you watch the game?
I heard about it. I watched a little bit of it.
I watched
I watched the overtime. I heard about it with, overtime. Yeah, yeah. So pretty amazing, So congratulations. I know you're not really initially involved in it, but, you live in Seattle, so therefore you do. You know how that goes.
Well, when you live here, and it's a pretty big deal for everybody, but the one thing is they were talking about all the fans that left after about 5 minutes to go because we got intercepted and then we had the big comeback. So they're trying to, all these people that left the stadium were trying to get back in. And of course, they couldn't.
Yeah. Well, that's what you snooze, you lose. You leave and you don't get to see the final
that's
stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And Miss Glory, yeah, I think that's awesome. Miss Glory, how are you tonight?
I am so excited for the Seahawks!
I know. Isn't it exciting? It is exciting. We're happy for Jamie. We're happy for the Seahawks. It's awesome. So they're playing the Patriots this year. Is that right?
That's correct.
Oh, wow. I'm so good. Gosh, miss football. Like, not. But anyway. I always I always like to watch the game for all the commercials. And nowadays, you don't even have to watch the game. You could just go online and watch the commercials. So, yay, thank you for the Internet. But anyway. Everybody will have to find some place to be hanging out to watch the game. So that's always exciting. So I was talking to Gloria today. Go ahead.
Speaking of the advertising, I heard they're pulling the Budweiser Clydesdales.
They're flying the Clydesdales for the game. They're going to have them at the stadium.
Are they? I heard they were going to pull them from the advertising roster.
Oh, they're pulling them. I thought you said they were flying them. They're flying them. Okay. So why are they pulling them?
I don't recall why. I just remember hearing that they were and feeling very disappointed.
Oh. Do you know anything about that, Jamie?
No, I sure don't.
He doesn't. Okay. That's interesting.
I don't, because Budweiser.
Have you ever seen the Clydesdales?
Yes.
In person?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, we all have. They're amazing. They're an amazing animal. They're so huge, and yet they're so gentle. It's just amazing. I saw them over in at L.A. at the L.A. The county fair, 1 year when they had this really nice facility for them and had it where you could, get up pretty close to them. It was pretty amazing
how close you could get to them.
Yeah, really, you're almost like next to them, because you can't put your hands through the bars. But other than that, you're standing right next to them. They're just huge. It's amazing.
I remember as a kid on one of our vacations, my parents took us to the home. and I don't have any clue at this point in time where that was, but it was somewhere. And we went on the in this long drive to go in, and we got to see them on their farm.
That's awesome. I know at one point they lived, they actually had a farm in Riverside, California had a farm for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I never knew about it when they were there. I heard about it after they left. Darn. But anyway, yeah. So at one point they had some acreage in the Riverside, California area, but I'm sure they're not there anymore. So it'd be interesting. Really don't need to know where they are, but that's okay. They go all over. So it's I wonder how many actual Clydesdales they have and how many of them are going around on tours and stuff like that. But if you do get a chance to see the Clydesdales, I would definitely encourage people to go and do that because it's just a wonderful experience to see them, you know. But, you know, even if you don't like the bear, it's okay. Okay. You don't have to
I love that. I love the latest ad that they had with the puppy and the horse,
yeah.
You know. And
yeah,
it's just wonderful.
The puppy's adorable. How can you go wrong with a commercial when you got a puppy in it? You know, they say puppies and babies like kill anybody's chance of getting attention. It's so true. It's so true. So anyway, Gloria and I were talking today about different possibilities for a topic tonight. And Gloria, you want to go ahead and talk about what we were about women attending school? And that was really an interesting statistic that you had found out about. And it led to a real neat conversation that went a few different directions that we thought we'd go ahead and carry on to the show.
Well, here I thought I was going to get to talk about truffles. No.
Well, somewhere within the conversation, I'm sure we could talk about truffles. Do Clydesdales like truffles? I don't think they can eat them. I don't think they're allowed to have chocolate. That's probably not one of the part of their meals, but that's okay.
I recently heard that the statistics from some recent research was that with women attending school and getting higher levels of education, that it is postponing marriage and that's postponing buying homes and that there was a percentage of 7% of women who, an increase of 7% of women getting higher education. That's what I heard.
Yeah, and the thing you were saying that it changed their priorities of marriage and also their home buying. They were waiting to later in their lives to go ahead and get homes, and they were putting off marriage. You know, putting off marriage with that whole thing. And so we were talking a little bit about, how I remember one time I was watching a MythBusters. You guys all know what MythBusters are, right? It's a syndicated show with Adam and Jamie. They do all kinds of scientific experiments. So one of the experiments was seeing if women that were their own breadwinners, if they had a particular choice between somebody who was good-looking or somebody who had a good career, and what women would choose when money really wasn't an issue for them because they basically could provide for themselves. And what was interesting was the majority of the women still looked at occupation. When it came to even if a guy was, you know, good looking as opposed to just normal, you know, or average, an average looking guy, his career had a tendency to push them more in a direction of what they would want to do. Because one thing Gloria was sharing was that women weren't willing to marry down, as they say, you know, to just on whatever kind of occupations and stuff like that. It seems like a sad thing to talk about, but it's an interesting thing that's kind of happening on just a cultural level for all the different things that really help with that. Because you were talking about how human development, is there's a whole new category that's being created between, you know, when you're graduating from, say, high school to college, there's this new niche that's a level of human development that's basically blossoming with the culture where it's basically getting solid with a certain level of maturity before you move into relationships. Because, you know, you hear so many of these kids are getting married, you know, even before they're 18, you know, 18 to about 20, 23 to 25 seems to be that critical time period when it comes to levels of relationships and making life choices where marriages are just, you know, 60% of all those marriages are not making it. And I went ahead and got online, and I found an article through The Atlantic. And there's a really great article in there about the science of cohabitation, A Steps Towards Marriage and Not a Rebellion is the title of the article. And it really kind of goes on to say that it's not a matter of living with somebody as much as how old you are when you're doing it. And that 23 to 25 seems to be the level of just kind of getting a little mature and figuring out what you really kind of want for yourself, as opposed to being a little bit younger and still having, you know, younger choices and challenges that come with that, because you're not really working so much or just starting to have jobs and things like that. But part of it, too, is some of the cultural things that were happening in the 60s and 70s, where it still was quite the taboo to actually live together before you got married. So a part of those, you know, those old beliefs are still kind of trickled into looking at that as a habit, cohabitation. And it's interesting because it's been like 50 years. Go ahead, Gloria.
A lot of that, I'm sure, is impacted by religion. And so you could probably look at a correlation within studies to determine with the number of people going or not going to church and the idea of living together before getting married. It was frowned upon by the church, and it was mm-hmm. one of those morals that was, you know, assigned and passed on. So it could mm-hmm. very well tie it into religion as well as another contributing factor.
Well, you're living in sin, right? If you're like
right.
living together and you're not married, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Or, you know, my mother would, and you're like, you know, you don't want to, my husband and I, before we got married, you know, we didn't live together. And it was like, you know, my mother will kill me. Okay. It was basically, you know, do I get killed by my mother or do we wait? You don't get anything. So, you know, I didn't live with my husband before we got married. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing with all that kinds of stuff. What do you think about that, Jamie? Does it seem to be kind of a different perspective for guys, or how was it for you when you knew you were younger with something like that?
Oh, well, I kind of grew up in the 70s, so I kind of wasn't too I mean, I was a little kid in the 60s when all that kind of change was being affected. Personally, I, you know, I'm on my third marriage, and I have lived with my significant others before we were married. For myself, I think that's kind of important, because you want to, it's like you want to know the person before you marry, I guess, marry them, you know. Of course, two of them didn't work out.
Yeah, the article
then,
was calling
it, okay.
You want to test drive the relationship. You were test driving
plus,
your relationship before
plus,
you got married. Right?
A lot of times the first marriage is a starter marriage, and then that's mm-hmm. how you learn, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's about all I have to say.
I have to say on that. Yeah, the article goes on to talk about the fact that the big thing that seemed to be the deciding factor for actually having the relationship be successful was the level of commitment before the people actually chose to live together or not. It's just like, oh, let's just kind of hang out, live together, or like we're going to go somewhere in the future with this. We're actually going to be getting married. So it's almost like even if you don't have the diamond ring, it's still leading to a place of commitment with one another where you're seriously committed. It says there's a better chance for marital success if there's a commitment of the relationship before they actually get together, which makes kind of sense. It's instead of just saying, you know, and it's the level of, you know, why are we together and the fact that we're committing to, you know, cohabitate together.
Well, you want to be sure
of being
at least compatible with the person and have maybe some shared interests and know how they react to certain situations and, you know, their personality at least. Personally, it was a little more, it's hard to say. But I think you'd like to know the person before you actually made a commitment, and that meant if that means just being with them and sharing experiences, I think that's important.
Yeah, well, I was thinking of. Go ahead, Gloria.
when you consider that early on, you know, people didn't travel a lot, and you knew the people that you were going to marry just because they lived in the same village or they lived in the same area that you lived in. And there wasn't a lot of traveling. There wasn't a lot of cross-cultural. There wasn't, you know, everybody had the same community norms. They had the same standards. And so you had a basic footing that was more similar than what you do now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times. I mean,
well,
now
I think, too, you know, along with the village, you were knowing the parents on a certain level. You know what I mean? If it's a smaller village, you're going to know the whole family before you even got in relationship with somebody. On a certain level, you're going to know who they are just within the community.
Well, that, and yeah, I was going to say, and the community creates such a dynamic within the family structure when you have a static community, because, you know, even the community that I grew up in, if somebody says, oh, I'm from that town, I immediately know the type of person that they probably are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's going to be some, you know, nuances and differences, but there's going to be that level of standard. If they grew up and they were born in the same place, then I immediately have this belief that they will have a similar pattern as to who they are in life.
Yeah. Well, I know when my kids were growing up, I kind of tried to brainwash them. I just said, don't even think about getting married until you're 25.
Yeah.
But it's true. I kept telling them, you know, if the relationship is solid, waiting till you're at least about 25 isn't going to really matter, because you both realize that you're, you know, for each one of you, you know, that person's the one. And it just helps you to get to know each other and get to know yourself, because you totally know yourself in a different way by the time you're 25 than when you're like 20. It's amazing when you just, you know, kind of get out in the world a little bit and have just a sense of yourself. So, you know, I'm happy to say they're both moving into their, you know, later 20s now, and they're, you know, they both have significant others, that the relationships are way different than the, you know, the boyfriends that they had when they were younger. And they both really are realizing that, you know, the fact that they waited and they're seeing what they want and the people that they're with now, they're closer. Like Jamie said, you know, you've got compatibilities and interests that are more in alignment with each other than before. It isn't just about, oh, I like, you know, Warcraft and you do too. You know, it's a little deeper than that. It comes to something like that. So I think that's a part of it. But I think it's when I kind of go back to that, you know, our initial part of that conversation when you were saying that, you know, women are going back and getting their educations and really changing the whole marriage structure when it comes to just moving into their developments and stuff like that. The State of the Union tonight, President Obama was saying that more people are graduating both at the high school and college level in the last, you know, 2 to 3 years. Than they have in quite a while. So there's a new success level of that. So it'd be kind of interesting to see what was really kind of behind that with people, you know, staying in school and completing school. I know he was wanting to promote free junior college for people too. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with that, if he's going to be able to get that passed and start that going before he's done with his term. Go ahead, Gloria. Did you have something?
No.
Oh, okay. I mean, I think all of us would say, yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out if you have free junior college if you actually go. Because I know, like in Las Vegas, in Nevada, they offer that for, you know, their population. You basically get junior college for free. I wonder if that's still true. I know for a while it was true. And, you know, how many people actually take advantage of that? It would be interesting to see what the percentage is or something like that. So when it comes to something like that, and I would hope that there wouldn't necessarily be a time limit on that, but you don't have to be a certain age to be able to take advantage of that. So, I mean, if you had an opportunity to go to school and it didn't cost you anything, would you go?
I did.
You did? Okay. How about you, Jamie?
Well, I was very fortunate. Oh, of course. Well, try to go back to school now.
Yeah.
Or... you know, I don't think so. I don't think I don't know. I haven't really thought of it that way. But I must say, when I did go to college, I was very fortunate that it was very reasonably priced back then, and I was an in-state resident.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. And I wish maybe I would have applied myself a little more, but then that's back then, and here I am now, so.
Well, I just have a firm belief that, you know, the best thing you can invest in is yourself, and that's education. That's learning and constantly just being a lifetime learner. If you look at statistics of people as they're growing older and the things that really help them to keep youthful and developing and just going, it's a part of that is that curiosity of just wanting to learn new things. So, and I, you know, I'm totally in that camp when it comes to something like that. So if anybody offered anything that at least, you know, had an interest in something like that, I would totally take advantage of it to be able to do something like that. And I always hear the stories of like my daughters when they're in like a college classroom and they've got some kind of a situation going on. And just, I think just being an older person, you know, I look at that and I go, well, I wouldn't put up with that crap. You know, because as being an older person, you realize that, you know, it's silly to just like, oh, gee, I couldn't say anything. That would be really embarrassing. You're like, I don't care. I'm going to let them know that that's not cool. You know, whatever it was, kind of a thing. You'd be that, you know, rebel in the back and be brave and just make it to where, you know, you're going to say something just because it's the right thing to say, you know, whether it's the teacher that's saying something that's inappropriate or there's a bunch of students that are doing something that's not appropriate. It's like, you know, everybody's sharing this time and you know, they paid their money to be in the class. So, you know, either, you know, sit down and take it in or get out, you know, something like that. So I heard a story about a teacher that he had been teaching a math class. You know, this is a prior year, school year. And he wanted to see it was a math class, and all the teacher and all the students had been successful with being able to do pretty well with the class. And so this next year, you know, it was going to be the next level of math. So he went to one of the, you know, like a principal and said, you know, hey, what's going on with that, you know, group of kids that I had? And he said, oh, you don't want to know. And what had happened was they wound up getting a teacher that was just not able to keep control of the class. I mean, literally, he went in there and kids are standing on top of the teacher's desk and it was just ridiculous. And the one guy had shared a story of a teacher that he had heard that the first day he went into class to go ahead and start the classroom and all that. And this is like junior high kids. They were just crazy and doing all different kinds of stuff and being wild in the class, you know. And he got up and stood in front of the class and basically said, when we all can sit down, be quiet and listen, I'll go ahead and start. And he said that three times, and everybody ignored him. So he just went over to his desk and basically just started, you know, busy work. He did that for 3 days. You know, he got up every day, made the statement, and then they didn't do it. The fourth day, kids were coming up to him saying, when are you going to start teaching us? And he said, when you can sit down and be quiet and be ready to learn something. And after that day, all the kids did that because they knew that he was just not going to put up with anything besides just, you know, the respective. We're all here to be, you know, quiet, sitting and learning. And other than that, I'm not going to put up with it. It reminded me of my my friend Kathy. She's does dog sitting, and she's read those books with the Dog Whisperer. And one of the things that he really talks about is how the alpha dog will totally ignore the puppies. So there's a puppy that's acting up and all that. He doesn't even look at him. He just acts like, you're not in the room, and I'm not going to even give you any attention. So that's what it reminded me of with this teacher that basically just, you know, made a statement, looked around and said, okay, you guys aren't ready for me, and just basically ignored them, which I thought was just really interesting. I mean, he made sure that they didn't leave the room and nobody hurt each other, but other than that, he was just going to, you know, if we're not going to pay attention, I'm going to be here. So I thought that was really kind of an interesting story. And how sad it was on some levels that, you know, that goes on in the classroom. I was kind of shocked to think that there's a bunch of teachers out there that they're letting kids just run rapid and not having any kind of classroom control. So it was an interesting story. Do you guys have any interesting stories like that?
Well, I know when I was in school, I tried to be a good, you know, a good student. So I don't know about the people that weren't, but, you know, you would be either embarrassed to act out or you didn't go to class, I guess. You know what I mean?
Or you're sent to the principal's office. I don't know what it would
right.
be nowadays to get to the principal's office. Yeah.
Or there was, let's just say, that, like in junior high, there was corporal punishment. I mean, people got swats. and that was actually getting swatted with a board, with a paddle. So you learn not to act up.
The rule in my house.
That was quite a while. I mean, you know, that was a few years ago, and I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore. But
the
again,
rule
yeah,
in my house,
exactly.
If you got sent to the principal's office, and you got anything, whatever you got, you get twice as much when you got home.
Wow. Talk about corporal punishment.
Well, you know, being called out of class, and maybe the assistant principal, he administered the SWATs, and I was several times. I even got a SWAT, but it was for something stupid, like I left something somewhere where I shouldn't have. Or again, that's a different time, and that would be in the 70s. So.
Or
you would get detention or something to that effect, you know.
You still have a big paddle, Gloria?
I said I still remember the paddle that was in the principal's office. It was round and it had big holes in it.
Yeah, look, that sounds like you're playing cricket.
Yeah, I know.
Right. And you know why it had holes
in it,
right?
It's like a cricket paddle or something. Yeah, exactly. This just seems like such an odd conversation. I mean, when you look at nowadays and the way that, you know, kids are basically put in a corner, and what do they do with a junior high or high school student when they can't really do any kind of spanking or something like that? I don't even know what they...
Don't they have these rooms where they can put them in?
They canceled the grade school. It didn't need to happen in high school.
Yeah. So what were you saying, Gloria?
I said when the majority of it was handled in grade school and you had a pattern behavior that was entrenched in you, you know, it's like behavior have consequences, you got conditioned and you didn't really, I mean, there were some still, but for the most part, you didn't have the people who would rebel in high school
right.
as much because they'd already been patterned.
That's true. Yeah, that would be an interesting thing to see, to hear one on that. But that's so true. I mean, you know, so much of, you know, they say by the time you're like 6 years old, you basically have your core behaviors, your core level of morality and things like that already instilled with you. You know, once you've got it at that level, is it eight? You're a better expert on that than I am. Oh, it's about eight. I think it's 25. No. We're going back to the whole marriage thing, you know, by the time you get that first relationship, okay, no, you're 25 and you figured it out kind of thing. Oh, my gosh. That's
well,
so
you know, I can remember back in high school, there was a young couple, and I mean, they were maybe a sophomores, I think, and they had a kid already, and it was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And that's going way back. I mean, like, wow, you're starting a family already, and you're not even, I mean, you know. Maybe in my mind that was way young, and maybe in their mind it wasn't that's what happened. But, you know, they would be very young parents.
Yeah,
also,
well, you know.
Also, there's another person from my high school that I contact due to Facebook, and he has 5 kids, and he's got grandkids already. And it's kind of amazing. And some of the kids
How
are in
the
30s. Oh, he was a class of 75.
Okay, 75. But, he's a great-grandfather.
Okay. Well, no, he's not a great-grandfather. He's a grandfather, but his kids haven't gotten a kid.
Okay.
So, and his oldest kid is like 34, so it's like, oh, my gosh. He's had, you know, he raised a family, and he's doing pretty good. I mean, like I said, that's not for me, but I guess some people mature quicker, or that's their life experience, and that's what happens. And I guess they deal with it, and then, you know, that's what happens. I mean,
well, you know, nowadays
it wasn't for me, you know, but that's their decisions, and be it as it may, you know.
Right, but like nowadays, girls have babies, and I mean, you know, they basically they're at school until they actually go into labor, and then on a certain level, they're able to bring them back to school and stuff for, you know, after school activities and stuff like that. It's not unusual for girls to, you know, to go to football games and homecomings and all kinds of stuff with their kids. You know,
right.
It's not made. It's not such a shun thing. You remember, used to get pregnant, you had to disappear, and then you know you were gone for the rest of the school year. Let alone, you know, may not even come back to school, kind of thing.
No longer relegated.
Yeah, exactly. So there's been a lot of interesting change. That's for sure. That's for sure. So you know, looking at that with. You know, women now attending more school and making different kinds of choices and being able to be self-sufficient when it comes to things like that. And just looking at the way that the world is changing, it certainly is. So, well, this was an interesting conversation, guys and gals. I appreciate that. So we will see you next time here at the Transformation Cafe. If anybody's got any questions or comments, make sure to leave it on the show. And we will see you next time. Thanks for checking in.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.